Rich Kimble here with you until 6 o'clock on the Pulse, WZON, and in high definition, WKIT HD3. It sounds so sweet. All around the world, WZONThePulse.com, and of course on the WZON app. Up next on the show, we get on board the G&M Family Market telephone line and connect with a guy you know from his, well, my goodness, four decades on television. He's the host of Bill Green's Maine, The Green Outdoors from WCSH-TV in Portland. It's Bill Green himself. Hello there, Bill.
Hi, Rich. How you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you this afternoon?
I'm well. I'm just coming in from hunting. How's that?
Well, fantastic, as you should be. Were you successful?
I was not successful, but I had a nice time. I heard something crash, Rich. I don't know what it was. What do you think it was?
Well, not your hopes, because you remain ever optimistic.
Probably me falling out of a tree or something.
I hope not.
So how you doing? Hey, what's up with MPBN? They're not going to do the tournament. What's that mean?
Well, it's very interesting.
I'll interview you this time.
Why not? I think it's really, it's sad because it's been such a part of the landscape for many, many years, but I kind of think it's inevitable with the move to three locations and things have changed, and we know most of the population has shifted down to the southern part of the state, and that spreads things out. It's just tougher than ever, and I honestly don't see any commercial network affiliates picking up the broadcasts.
No, I think it'll be an interesting situation. With this interweb, this internet thing's going to catch on here, Rich, and somebody might do it on the internet. Somebody might do it somewhere.
Yeah, I think you'll see. Yeah, I think you'll see streaming video out there, and there'll be ways to get the games. But it's sad because it's been such a part of so many people's lives for, gosh, well, back into the 1950s when they first started carrying it.
Sure.
Even
it'll
before
be interesting
you
to see what happened. What else is going on?
What else is
going? You're doing a great job on football. I listen to you and Bob every week, faithfully.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's been.
I think you're one of the best college radio broadcast teams I've ever heard.
Well, thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. We have fun with it.
Nice job.
It's been a frustrating year for the Black Bears, and I think for the coaches, too. But that's a program, too, that's going through some changes in competing in the CAA with some teams that got a heck of a lot more money in their programs than the Black Bears have. And now Maine has to go out and play two FBS opponents every year just to bring in the cash. And it's not going to get any easier for them.
No, and what does that mean? They still have to win seven to get to the playoffs, so with the likelihood of two losses there to Tulane and Boston College, it's that's much harder.
Yeah, absolutely, because you really it means you have to win at least six in your conference every year and then hope you can take that other non-conference game that isn't against an FBS team. Next year it'll be Yale again, but it'll be down at the Yale Bowl.
Yeah, boy, when they don't score like Yale and Villanova, it's frustrating.
It is, yeah, no doubt about that. So now where have you been going for the show? You travel all over the state of Maine. Where have you been of interest lately?
I'm sure I didn't hear your question. I heard about going all over the state, but I didn't hear your question.
Yeah, where have you been? What are some interesting places you've been to?
I've been so many interesting places. I think the key to doing a good story is do it on something good. Does that make sense?
And yes.
So if you find a good story, it tells itself. And you know what I got this week? Jessica Meir, who's an astronaut. She's from Caribou. She hasn't flown yet, but she's been down there training. She's been selected. She's been through the training, which makes her an astronaut. And she's a Caribou native, and she went to like MIT, and she was teaching at Harvard, just and doing all these interesting stories in Antarctica and stuff, imprinting, penguins that swim with very little oxygen. She's done a lot of work like that. Very interesting person. She'll be on Saturday night, and I don't know, just it's all fun. Every place I go is fun, and we have a fun time.
Well, and it shows, too. And, we had Rob and Caroline from 207 on a little while back, and we talked about the great guest list that they have on 207. And you've talked to some incredibly famous and talented people, but I wonder if you feel like they do, that sometimes your best interviews and your best segments are with just the regular folks who have their own story to tell, and you get to help tell that story.
Yeah, sometimes. It's easier to do somebody famous because there's somebody that's interesting in them already. But yeah, I like a good story. I like the veterans. I like the history stories of Maine and stuff like that. Hey, how bad are we getting slammed on the news in Bangor up there? What's the word on the street? You can be honest.
Well, you know, I've heard a little bit, not that much, because I think people, maybe it's because I'm sort of in the business, that we suspected that was going to happen for a little while. It's tough for people because they want the local aspect. And I'm not just saying it because it's you. I still feel like the News Center folks do a good job of covering the news up here. You've still got talented reporters here. It's not originating from Bangor, but the whole business has changed. You know, some people have weather guys who are in another state, so who knows?
Yeah, that's right. It's, you know, the business is hard now. You know, the business isn't, it's a hard business. You've got to be, I don't even know the word, but you've got to be agile to stay in it and keep going and keep your job. And, you know, it's a very difficult business. I don't think the margins are there that what were once there or something. I've never managed, so I don't know. But, difficult times. And
well, yeah. I mean,
radio business.
There was a time that having a local TV license was also a license to print money. But those days are gone when you've got satellite and you've got internet and so many ways for people to get things now. And you're competing at a whole different level. And look, part of it is it is a business, and you've got to take care of the bottom line first. And what you guys have been able to do is hang on to your talented people for so many years. And I think that's one of the reasons why the ratings are good and you've been so successful.
I hope so. It's going pretty well. So, no complaints in the Bill Green's main department. And again, I've got in my mind the best gig, you know, for the guy that sat up in the back of the class and was a wise guy, you know, to have the career I've had. I mean, I'm pretty lucky.
I'm looking right here in studio. I keep a picture on the wall that says your host for the Great Money Movie, Eddie Driscoll. And I know that you, when you started out at Channel 2 back in the day, you worked with Ed and were good friends with him for many years. We'll never see, I don't think, another guy like Eddie Driscoll in this business.
I don't know. On one hand, I think we're going back in time and we're doing, you know, kind of, that was pretty primitive TV. So, but the cue here is, I think, to talk about Ed. Eddie was so talented, it's unbelievable. And a story I like to tell is, Milton Berle, who had some title like the father of television or something, was at Lakewood as an older fellow. And Ed wanted to meet him. This is late 70s. And so we jumped in a news car and we went over to interview Milton Berle, who's going to be at Lakewood. And Eddie and Milton started doing the shtick on camera for our story. Eddie was five times funnier than Milton Berle. It wasn't even close. You know, Eddie, they were just kind of bantering back and forth and making quips. And I mean, he was better than Milton Berle, you know. Milton Berle was, you know, yeah, at one time the number one guy in TV, and you know, historians still study Milton Berle. So, I mean, Eddie was brilliant, and he could make an hour out of nothing, and he had a real way of, you know, relating to an audience. And I, you know, I think I learned some things from Eddie, and I've tried to steal those things from Eddie. Like the first when I got there in '72, I think everything was on tape at the network level. And the first variety show, they brought in an Ed Sullivan kind of show hosted by Howard Cosell.
And
Howard had high negatives, as we all know. And everybody's saying, oh, he's going to get killed. This is going to be awful. And Eddie said, that show's going to do well because it's live. And that's what people want. Mm-hmm. And that show did pretty well. It made it a year and a half, far better than most of the critics thought. And, you know, we started seeing live stuff come back. And so, I mean, Eddie had great sense of timing, great sense of what TV was about. And, you know, funny guy.
Now, Bill, we're talking to Bill Green, of course, at WCSH in Portland. And Bill, you grew up in Bangor. You were a Chapin Park kid and a good athlete at Bangor High on some really terrific baseball teams. You were a captain, I believe, of one of those baseball teams.
I was a co-captain with a guy named Larry Mahoney.
Right.
That team should get more coverage than it does still, I think. But I wasn't that good an athlete. 5'10", 165, couldn't run. Good hand-eye, you know, and I could play great D, and I could put the bat on the ball and get it in play, but I couldn't hit it with any power. And Mahoney could. Mahoney was an athlete. And Mahoney was like a man, and I was like a Norman Rockwell stick figure, you know. But we had some good players, and we did win a state, so that's fun. It's fun when you win because then you can act like you knew what you were doing. And I don't think there's much difference between the team that wins and the team that loses. But, yeah, I played football, most average football player that ever came down the pike. Jerry Hodge learned to coach the year after I got out of there. He won when I was a freshman and not at the high school, and he won the year after. But when I was there, we were okay. We were 6-3,
that kind of stuff.
Well, and you had to go up against some of those great teams, some of the greatest teams ever in the area out of Brewer High School.
Yeah, Ralph Payne and I are the same age. So I spent most of my football career chasing Ralph and, you know, Bobby Fortier and, you know, Tennant McLaughlin and those guys. They had a really good group. They had a, you know, it didn't scare me, but it was talked about a lot at the time. I think they had 107 guys out for football. Oof. And they'd come out and run around the field, and they were wearing white spikes, which was pretty cool in those days because everybody wore black. And, you know, I remember thinking at the time they could only play 11 of them, but, you know, they beat us progressively better each year that I was in high school.
When Ken Perrone would bring them out, Perrone would bring them out and have them circle the field in single file, right?
Yeah. But did they run around the other team? I don't remember them being on our end of the field. I think they ran across the 50-yard line.
I think so, yeah, I think so.
That, you know, that didn't do much for me, but, you know, either way, I was, you know, as ready to play as I could be, and it didn't bother me and all that. They were a great team, and they certainly put it all together. And Ken, I talked to him a couple of years ago. You know, it was one of those guys that I think he did a lot for those guys on and off the field. I think one thing that we should never forget is that sports can build, in this case we're talking men's athletics, it can build women. But, I mean, it can build a child into an adult. And I think Ken did a great job at that. And I think he's to be commended for it, because anytime we can help. Now, I'm going to talk boys because I'm a boy. I mean, especially now with all the stuff out there, anytime you can help a boy grow into a good man, I think you're really, you know, people should tip their cap to you. And Ken Perrone was perhaps among the best at that.
Boy, and he's done something right in his life. I saw a picture of him recently and saw him in person a couple of years ago. The man is 80, and he looks about 50.
Yeah. I've talked to him a couple of times over the last 10 years or so. And, I guess he keeps care of himself. It's got to be genetics at some point. But you know, I thought the world of Kenny Perrone. I was a little kid. He had a free clinic at Garland Street, and I was 7. Or 9 or something. I went over and he was doing double plays. And so I turned a double play, you know, I mean, he was showing us how to do it. And I kind of stepped across the bag and threw it first. And he said, "You're the best second baseman for your age that I've ever seen." And I mean, wow. I carried that for like 2.5 years.
Well, yeah.
You know, Kenny Perrone said, how many 9-year-old second basemen had he seen? Probably 3, you know. But, you know, I mean, boy, could he pumped me up. I love the guy. And when we played against those teams in baseball, it was nice to beat them in baseball. He was great. You know, he'd shake your hand, say, "Great game, you played well," and, you know, a great sportsman. Ken Perrone was a pretty great guy, you know.
Yeah, so, Bill, what was it that made you think a television would make a good career, and how old were you when you first decided that?
I got fired from McDonald's when I was 18, and I needed a job, and I went out by Pilot's Grill somewhere in that industrial park looking for a job loading trucks. And the guy there said, "You know, there's a job that you don't do." I turned down because it only paid minimum wage, which was $1.70, as they vote today on a $15 minimum wage in Portland. And, you know, it's running camera channel 2. And I thought, Hollywood? I mean, oh, my God. Mm. I couldn't imagine just meeting Eddie Driscoll. You know, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I went over and I got an interview. I mean, you know, they're paying $1.70. Who's going to take that job, right? And the interview was pathetic. You know, they said, "Have you ever shot any film?" Right? I'm 18. I got pimples. You know, I mean, I've never shot any film. I go, "Well, my dad's got a home movie camera," right? So, you know, all I could do was like show up on time and learn. You know, and the first day, which was St. Patrick's Day of 1972, I was running camera for Dialing for Dollars that afternoon, and the guy who hired me is still around then, John Bonadio, and he said, "This is your zoom. Don't touch that. This is your focus. Whatever you do, don't touch that." You know, and you know, when he reaches into the barrel, you know, zoom, you know, pan left so you can see him at the barrel. But then pan right, because people always want to know what the amount is. And the tally light came on. We came out of a commercial. The red light came on, and I was too scared to move the camera, but I got over that pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would say so. $1.70. See, now I started about 3 years after you doing radio and TV at Channel 5, and by then minimum wage was up to $2.10. So I was rolling in it. Oh yeah,
rolling in it.
Yeah, big time.
Little overtime, you're making $100 a week.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, I thought there was a difference. I thought Channel 5 was more professional. You guys had voices. Gonyer and Hale had those voices, and Steve Martin and you guys. I thought you guys were a little bit more professional in your approach to it. And I thought we were a little bit more, I don't know what I want to say there, but not hayseedy, but more down home. I don't know the word I want, but we didn't have the broadcasting school background, I think.
I don't know.
The FBI guys didn't.
When I interviewed for my job there, I was 17 years old, and a guy named Jim McFarlane interviewed me, and he said, and I had an awful audition. I mispronounced a couple of words. And he said, how badly do you need the job? I said, I'm 17. I'm living at home. I'm going to high school. He said, great, you're hired. Welcome to TV and radio, young man.
Yeah. Well, I heard a kid the other day say it was a pope. There was a lady, because Jody and Lage, it's not a poplar tree. I'm thinking, no, we got to do better than that. It's not a poplar tree. I'm sure I've mispronounced plenty of words. So, one of them was Nadia Comaneci.
Oh, well, that's
spent
a tough
the whole
one.
Time she's won the gold medal calling professors at UMaine saying, how do you pronounce her name? And the last thing that they did on the Olympic coverage that night, Jim McKay said, say your name, see Comaneci. Meanwhile, I'm coming up with Comanets. And about 2 minutes later, I'm on saying Nadia Comaneci is one gold medal in gymnastics. So.
Well, in my audition, I read a story about what I called quahogs.
I think I've said quahogs, too. It's a funny-looking word.
Exactly. Hey, Bill, we love your work. Bill Green's Maine, the Green Outdoors. It's great to catch up with you. We got to do it again before too long.
Hope we do, Rich, and I'll be listening. Who's that fairy? I don't even know who the Black Bears are playing.
Black Bears welcome Towson. The Towson Tigers coming up from Johnny United Stadium to play here.
Can we beat them?
Yes.
Good.
There you
I'll
go.
I'll be listening.
I'm staying positive. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Rich.
That's Bill Green here on Downtown's 23 after 5 o'clock.